Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What are you asking exactly? I'm so confused by your question.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Demo talked to Richard Sherman. We'll have that for you shortly, within the next 15, 20 minutes or so. We're live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. We love Laughing Monk. We can't wait to get there, hopefully later this month. Also, coming up this hour and next, two pairs of tickets to the Giants game against the Rays this Saturday, August 15th, and also a City Connect concert is coming up after the game. So stay tuned. We'll tell you how you can win those. And speaking of the Giants real quick, someone explain this to me, maybe?
Okay.
So we got a roster move that just took place. Thank you.
Yeah.
And there it is, right?
I need to get the the front.
Tyler Fitzgerald has been recalled.
Fitzy's
back. Contain your excitement.
Okay.
But the person being sent out is Carson Wisenhunt.
Yeah. Carson Wisenhunt?
Carson Wisenhunt.
Not Carson Seymour?
Not
He's
Carson
already been
Seymour.
Sent, hasn't he?
No, and not it's not like,
and Carson Ragsdale's long gone.
You have, I mean, Schmidt is up. Kristen Koss is up. So you have your utility infield people here. And then Tyler Fitzgerald is back. And you sent out your young starting pitcher.
What is going on here?
And
yeah.
You don't have any starting pitchers.
Well,
no, no, he's starting pitchers.
You've got Verlander, who's going
not
to
a
start.
Starting pitcher.
Well, he is, like it or not.
But he's not.
Ready or not, here he comes.
Yeah, okay.
You can't hide.
So there's that.
Okay.
And then even Kaiwei Tang, you bring him, like,
he's a second inning guy.
Yeah,
now.
He flanked, and it worked. It worked. You know, like, I should take a little bit of egg on the face, because I was like, do not pitch this guy, and then he was the only guy who won a game against the Nationals all weekend.
Wow, and he looked great.
And I wanted them to start Wisenhunt, and they responded by sending him to the minors.
Right, so to me, there's another move that is going to be made, maybe not immediately. So what this tells me is that Carson Wisenhunt is not starting tonight, and we know that. Robbie Ray, shout out Robbie Ray's wife for a lovely anthem last night before the game. She got a chance to belt it out, and she did a great job. So Robbie Ray goes today. And that tells me that they're not going to start Carson Wisenhunt tomorrow, obviously. Is that a Kaiwei Tang day? It feels like that's going to be a flank day.
I mean, he pitched on Friday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, he should be eligible tomorrow.
And then they do play Thursday, right, as they welcome Tampa?
No,
Tampa. Okay, so there you go.
That's the off day. That's the off day over this 10-day stretch against against Tampa and San Diego.
So this is not that dramatic,
no,
then?
No, they've got a day game tomorrow, off day Thursday.
And then Verlander.
And then, Wisenhunt is listed as the starter. But, yes, with the off day, you could skip.
Because Verlander pitched Sunday, right?
Yeah, but then you got to do something, because there's no off day after that. It's four games in San Diego. I mean, the schedule.
Well, then this is the way I look at it, Mark.
The schedule is starting next week. I don't know if you've looked at it. I know we're all focused on San Diego. Do you realize what happens after that? San Diego's a four-gamer next week.
On the road.
Right. Monday through Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And then you immediately fly with no off day to do three in Milwaukee.
Okay.
The best team in baseball.
You got a charter. You can fly direct.
And then as soon as that one's over, you do get an off day. You get to fly home, though. And the Cubbies are going to be in town.
Good little team.
The Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
So that would be 10 straight games against amazeballs baseball teams.
Playoff teams.
Yep.
So if you get to a spot and things haven't gone your way, if things actually got worse, then, all right, Carson, come pitch. Come start. It's clear right now that they didn't want to start him tomorrow, and you have an off day Thursday, which means he's going to get skipped. So why not bring up an extra bat And this feels to me a little bit like what you call Survivor Island. All right, Cost, Schmidt, and Fitz. You guys got about 6 days. One of you's getting sent
when we need another arm. Schmidt's not going to.
Okay, so maybe it's Cost or Fitz. I don't know. I don't know what it would be, but if you get to where you're going to need the Wizenhunt spot in the rotation, if you go 2-4 over the next six, well, come on back, Carson. And if you actually go on a mini run, well, then you have a real decision to make. That's kind of the way I read it. I mean, it's not great, but if he's not going to pitch, wouldn't you rather have a high-powered bat up here? He said, expecting to have something really thrown at him.
A high-powered bat.
Just to throw this
in there. Yes, Grandy.
Now, I don't know if this explains it entirely, because they think they still need arms, even when Landon Roop comes back. But Roop made his a rehab start on Sunday in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
and probably means he's going to be back up here shortly.
Okay.
But
how long did he go?
Starter,
do you have that in front of you? Like his, did he get?
He went three innings, gave up two runs, three hits, struck out four.
So probably like 50 pitches or something.
I don't know. I can find pitch count.
I mean, maybe the fifth starter might be for right now. Gage as the opener, followed by Kaiwei Tang. Maybe that is your fifth starter.
So how do you feel about them prioritizing that over Wizenhunt at the moment?
Not great, except for maybe they feel prioritizing Wizenhunt is sending him down.
Roop threw 50 pitches. Exactly. Yeah. Good job, Dibs.
Look at that.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Do you know what I mean by that, though? Like, maybe sending him down is prioritizing him. Maybe they're like, oh, so that's not ripe.
No.
So, like,
14 and a third, eight earned, five home runs.
Oh, that's a lot of home runs.
He's not fooling a lot of people.
No. All the Carsons give up a lot of homers.
Right.
All of the Carsons. They do. They give up a lot of homers.
Carson's also given up five in 14 innings.
Exactly. Seymour.
Twins. Twin Carsons.
By the way, speaking of that Rivercats game on Sunday, when Roop started, did you see what happened in the eighth inning of that game?
No.
Rivercats down 2-0, two on for Bryce Eldridge.
And
opposite field home run to take the lead.
Oppo Taco.
Dude, Bryce's OPS is a billion. Like the last, what is it? Just a week and a half. It's a short sort of a stint.
But on the year, it's probably north of 850, I would guess.
Well, do you mean for AAA or do you mean the entire year?
For Bryce?
Yeah.
Hasn't he only been in AAA?
No. He got called up. He got called up not terribly long ago. Oh, the stupid website where you get the minor league stats.
OPS in SAC is 858.
What about just in August?
Oh, I don't have that.
Yeah. I can get it, but this website is always really... the website where I get it is always really...
You got to go to Baseball Reference.
No, I know, but there's game logs when you go to the MILB.com, but it's finicky. Like, the website is kind of just like the players. Like, we're not ready yet to do it right every day, so we practice. So some days, we'll give you the game logs, and then some days, we're just not ready. So they're kind of like Carson Wisenhunt's changeup.
I don't yike it.
And today is one of those bad days. And now it works. See? Now it works. All right. So Bryce Eldridge, just in the month of August, the OPS is 1165.
Not bad.
1165 with five home runs. It's only August 12th.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, five home runs and an 1165 OPS this month. So in the last, almost couple weeks.
And yet there's been repeated reluctance to bring him up and give him a shot. And I get
it. For sure, yeah.
But instead, it's Tyler Fitzgerald, come on up, Fitzy. And I would hope that he comes up and he gets a start tonight.
Where would you even put Eldridge if you brought him up? Unless you're just like, I don't care anymore. So like Dom Smith will just release you. I like Dom Smith.
Sure.
He's a baseball player. That's like a funky little find that the Giants got
it's
there.
Great find.
It
smells of Farhan, but it's not.
It was a complete Farhan move.
It's like,
Lamont Wade can't hit the high fastball anymore.
Let's find a 9-year vet.
Just sitting there. Got DFA'd. Boom, Dom Smith. It's like that guy, he gets hits. He's got a beautiful glove over at first. Seems like a jamming guy in the clubhouse.
Yep.
Came on with the morning show. Couldn't have been more fun. I'm like, keep that guy. Keep that guy.
I mean, you can't now.
Yeah, you can.
And, like, do what?
And do what?
Play him at first. I mean, if he could play outfield again, he's played outfield, right?
He's played outfield, yes. And I don't know that Bryce Eldridge is starting next year. He's only 20. I don't know that he's just going to be up and in the opening day lineup next year, you know?
Yeah.
Super encouraging what's happening right now. You know, the way the Giants organization always does it with those young guys is they want you to force your way from one level to the next. And if one level starts looking too easy, then they want to challenge you. And this is, I'll continue to say it, the one bright spot in what has been just a hellacious, disastrous season, in my opinion. The one bright spot is they are setting themselves up for a late August and September where, why not bring up Bryce Eldridge? Why wouldn't you? Do it. He is. He's forcing his way. He's making AAA look easy. His August OPS is 1165. Let him come up here and take a few hacks.
Great time to play in that league when you've got Albuquerque, sure. Reno, and Sacramento. Combined temperature of about 3 million. Couple of altitudes. Not to take anything away from him. But if you're going to do that, then I want to see Marco Luciano. Let's see some Luciano if we're going to just wave the white flag.
I've already seen Luciano. I'd like to see something different, if you don't mind.
I mean, he's an outfielder now.
You don't mind.
Hey, really quick, guys, before we hit a quick break, we do have a Giants lineup. We have some changes. Tyler Fitzgerald is batting eighth and playing right field.
What? Oh.
Luke and Casey Schmidt is still playing second, but he's batting second.
Are they facing the lefty tonight?
They are. Nasty Nestor.
Oh, there you go. That's all that is.
Devers is batting third. Adames fourth. Chapman down to sixth behind Flores.
So that's why Fitzgerald got called up. Because Grant McRae is the other outfielder, and instead of calling up Matos when they traded Yaz, they brought up another left-handed hitting outfielder in Drew Gilbert. So now they want someone who's right-handed to play tonight. So there you go.
There you have it.
Wizenhunt might be back in 48 hours.
I think it'll be longer than that.
Or not.
I think that's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to win a pair of tickets to see the Giants this Saturday against the Rays. You can get a City Connect concert featuring Saweetie. Following the game, we've got a pair of tickets courtesy of Levi's. One this hour, one next hour. For now, keep listening. Remember, you can always get your tickets at sfgiants.com. We're also giving away another pair in the 4 o'clock hour, so stay right where you are. We'll let you know more coming up on how to win this hour on Withered and Dibs.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, don't tell you, Savalas.
N-Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Steve Young makes me smile. That's just one of those voices. It just makes me smile. I hope that Diamador Lenore becomes the same. I hope he's as good as he thinks he's going to be. We got a bunch of stuff. Cooking today, and included in all of that, we really do have some, like, let's get down to the nitty-gritty questions about the Giants. Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area, will join us after he talks to Bomel. It'll be at about 4:45.
We have questions, and so
there's that. We're also giving tickets away to Saturday's game, both this hour and next, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. This one got your attention, though. This is from Sherm's podcast. Richard Sherman spent time, seemingly all week, by the way, at Niners camp. And he talked to Shanny, and he talked to Brock, and he talked to Kittle, and he talked to Diamador Lenore.
I'm going to be the best corner in the league this year.
I love it. You heard it here first on the Richard Sherman podcast, the best corner in the league, Diamador Lenore.
The money didn't change me. You know, I really would come in and work and just prove my worth. I was just telling them that I'm ready for any challenge. If it's got to be 99 plays in man or if it got to be 99 in zone, I'm willing to back up anything that I put out there.
Do you feel like DB and the other coaches have kind of leaned on you to be that voice in the room?
I mean, all our examples has left. You know, I got to show that leadership to show them how we set the standard here.
Okay, there's Diamador Lenore. He is going to be the best corner in the league this year. You know, this is how guys talk, especially receivers, DBs. This is kind of how it is. But I don't know. I got nothing against the bravado.
Sure.
And I'm interested to see how the 49ers deploy him.
Yeah.
Is he following WR1 or is he taking one side of the field? Like, how do they plan on doing it?
A lot of times that is a personal preference. And also what he said in that cut is, 99 plays a man, 99 plays a zone, doesn't matter. When you play zone, obviously you're just going to play a side. And if you play man, that's where it might be a time where he does want to travel and just match up against the best receiver. And I did a little bit of a dive, not a total deep dive, but just looking at Pro Football Focus and the receivers they're going to go against, he's going to go against. And, you know, how difficult will that task be? And just running down their list, and of their top 32 receivers that they listed, he's going to face 14 of them. Including...
Wait, of the top how many?
32 they listed.
He's going to face the top 14
of
the
32.
Top. Okay.
So that's not easy.
Like, yeah, it is interesting. You think of, are there any good teams on the schedule? Maybe not that many, but are there some good receivers? Because there aren't great quarterbacks. There's not great quarterbacks. We brought this up. Four of their games are against quarterbacks who are in Sando's tier one and tier two.
Yep.
And Matt Stafford is the tier one guy, so you face him twice. And then there's Baker Mayfield and C.J. Stroud.
That's right.
Everybody else is tier three or below.
Yeah, you've got six games against tier four, and I wrote them down. It's Flacco, but I just put Flacco, Cleveland.
I guess, yeah, Shador, someone.
Richardson, Indianapolis, and Rattler, New Orleans. Like, those three, no matter who they have, it's a tier four.
Well, and they're facing the number one pick in the draft, who's not even eligible to be on the list anymore because he hasn't played yet, and that's Cam Ward for the Tennessee Titans. They'll be facing him as well.
Yeah. And
in theory.
Yeah, I guess I didn't put down a Tennessee quarterback. I have Daniel Jones in there as tier four. Is he on Tennessee? I don't even know who he plays for.
He's along with Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis.
There you have
One of them is going to be the starter. My guess would be Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and I don't to start. But, and then maybe by the time the Niners play him, it'll be different. But
we'll
just
see.
Looking at the receivers, you've got Puka Nacua and Nico Collins, who are tier two, ranked number five and number seven overall. They're on the schedule. You've got Mike Evans and Terry McLaurin. You've got London Neighbors and Thomas Jr. Those are all tier three.
McLaurin's not on the schedule this year.
Bad.
Yeah, we'll see where he all ends up, but Washington. But anyway, go ahead.
My bad.
No, you keep going.
Davante Adams you're going to face twice.
Yep.
He's number 16 overall. You've got Godwin, DJ Moore, Olave in tier four, and then Harrison Jr., Smith and Jigba. And then Josh Downs at the bottom of the list. So
did you mention Brian Thomas?
Yeah, he's at the bottom of tier three, right ahead of Davante Adams.
Well, and the PFF thing is also based on last year, and I think we should try to take a moment here and do some projecting because, for example, Brian Thomas last year with Jacksonville is a rookie, and he was phenomenal, but I think he's going to be much better this year. Take Tampa. Godwin is always dealing with injury, but they've got – And you got to help me pronounce this. There's a rookie with Tampa who everybody is buzzing about. Emeka Ebuka?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I got it.
You worked your way through it.
I did.
Ohio State wide receiver.
Ohio State. Anyway, he's phenomenal, supposedly. Having a really good camp. We'll believe it when we see it. But they're excited about him. You can't guard all these guys, Demo. So Tampa's got a core. You mentioned Puka and Davante Adams. Can't guard them both.
Right.
You're going to have to pick one of those guys. Jackson Smith and Jigba. You'll face Marvin Harrison Jr. twice. Drake London in Atlanta is on your schedule. Malik Neighbors, Nico Collins. Even go to Carolina. There's a lot of buzz about Tet McMillan there. We go to Cleveland. I don't even know who the quarterback is. I don't even really know who's going to step forward as their, top receiver. Jerry Jeudy was good last year. What have you. Calvin Ridley in Tennessee. Chicago's receiving core is interesting. The bottom line is this, his assignment is probably harder than the 49ers' assignment.
Agreed.
Is, I guess, the way I would say it.
Yeah, because the receivers that he will have to go up against, assuming he lines up on their side or they man match and he follows them across, it's going to be more difficult than, for example, what the overall defense is going to have to contend with when you look at the quarterbacks and... Even if it's Penix, who is tier four, or you know, Kirk Cousins, who's at the bottom of tier three in Atlanta, and all those other teams that are unsettled and replete with tier four guys, overall the defense is not going to face that much of a daunting opposition and quarterback. There's no Allen, no Jackson, no Burrow, no Mahomes. So for your top five, or the top four, according to Mike Sando and The Athletic and his quarterback tiers, you're not going to have to worry about him.
Right. Well, what I really like with Robert Saleh, this is the way I'd say it, because I think you saw it in the first quarter in the preseason game against Denver. I'm kind of high on the idea of Saleh's defense against a young quarterback. I think that he's going to really do some things to try to disguise this Niner defense and try to force young quarterbacks into mistakes. So even if they're not the greatest quarterbacks, are they young, impressionable quarterbacks? Week one, Seattle, Sam Darnold. I mean, young-ish, but also been around the block some. Might he be able to handle it? New Orleans has three guys who all are just either young or not good. So, like, that's going to be a one where you would figure Saleh can feast. Your division guys, Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford, they've been around the block. Trevor Lawrence is kind of sort of in between. And you've got names like Baker Mayfield and potentially Russell Wilson on the schedule. But maybe you've got Penix and Jackson Dart, and you've got Bryce Young, and you might have Shedeur Sanders, and you've got Cam Ward, and you might have Anthony Richardson, and you've got Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You have all of those QBs on your schedule. That's why my rose today was for Robert Saleh. I love that matchup for the Niners.
You might have six or more games against either rookies or second-year players.
Totally.
If you get into, you know, Penix, and you mentioned, you know, Caleb Williams. And
Anthony Richardson would technically be a year three, but he's barely played enough games. Cam Ward is going to be in his first year. He's the number one pick in the draft. We'll see who Cleveland plays.
Bryce Young would be year three also,
year three,
right?
But Cleveland is probably playing a rookie by then. That's week 13.
New Orleans, I mean, do they have anybody who's not a rookie?
Spencer Rattler's not a rookie.
And I guess Haener's like, not either, right? I think he was around last year, but what are we talking about?
Shuck is the guy who, is their draft pick. And then we'll see where the Giants are in the whole Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart thing. But there's another rookie, and that's week 9, so he could be playing. And then, by the way, we're making all these guesses, and we don't know who's gotten hurt. You know what I mean? Like, there could be injuries that lead to other young guys playing in there.
Yeah.
But I think even in a perfect world, the Niners are probably going to get a third of their schedule against really, really young, green-type quarterbacks. And I love Saleh in that matchup.
Yeah, and that's why that was my rose with the 49ers. And if you have a rose and a thorn for the Niners upcoming, 888-957-9570, my rose was the schedule, not only because of the teams, but what we just talked about and the quarterbacks that you're going to have to face are not world beaters. They have not been world beaters. And if you have a young defense, that's going to give you a better opportunity, I think, to, you know, not get run out of games. You mentioned this earlier, Green Bay. You didn't have Brock Purdy. You went to Lambeau and you got run out of the building. You turned right around, you played Buffalo, Josh Allen, you got run out of the building. And so the schedule last year and the quarterbacks you faced, far more difficult than this year.
I love, though, getting back to sort of the launch point, though, I do think that D'Amador Lenore gets to go up against some great receivers. But then again, some of those receivers, you're only as good as who's throwing the ball to you. Like, I'm really interested to see Malik Nabers this year. This is another little, if you want, because I know a lot of people, I'm one of them, like, fantasy drafts are going to kind of maybe start this weekend. It's a little early still, but some people will do it. You'll start this weekend. And this is something to think about. I certainly do. You know, everybody's hot on wide receivers early. Really look at the schedule and then also think about the QB. And so there are receivers that people are so excited about, and I look at them and I go, maybe. Maybe. I'd sure like to know what the hell's going on with Matt Stafford before I get excited about Puka and Devontae. You want to know what the cruelest thing of all time for Devontae Adams would be is if he ends up playing with Jimmy Garoppolo again. Jimmy almost drove him crazy.
Oh, that's right. The receivers, Doc.
Dude, you're one back tweak away from them being back together again. The receiver, Doc, He was hucking his helmet all over the sideline because of Garoppolo.
Garoppolo tried to get him killed. Well, didn't try to, but he almost did.
Right? So, like, think about that. Malik Nabers, are you with Russell Wilson? Is that going to go well? Are you with Jackson Dart, a little bit later on in the season? Is that going to go well? I don't know. So, and New Orleans. Ooh, Chris Olave. What about Chris Olave? Like, I am not, like, go ahead and take this. You guys will know now if you're drafting near me when we do our work league. We're not doing Saints this year. I'm not doing Saints. What the hell am I doing with Saints?
Who's their punter?
They're not moving the ball.
Oh, we don't draft punters?
Their center just got hurt, out for the whole year, too.
They're not moving the ball. Like, maybe Kamara somewhere on the board. But I'm drafting offenses, and I'm not drafting New Orleans Saints. The Niners should kill that team. They're not trying to win this year. Speaking of their punter, that's what they did on the season. Tyler Shuck.
Well,
I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Is Peyton Manning's nephew eligible to come out next year?
Yeah, but is his grandpa already was like, no, you're not doing it.
Yeah, and, well, 2 years from now, the Saints will still suck, so he'll still probably be drafted
fair.
By them.
So you're saying Archie doesn't want another Manning in New Orleans with fans with bags over their heads?
I don't know if it's about New Orleans. Who knows who's going to get the number one overall pick in the draft, but right now they're suggesting that Arch Manning is not going to play just this year and then go. He's gonna stay. And that's their business decision, at least as of now.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that can change between now and January.
And it's not always great to be the number one overall pick in football.
That's true.
Because unless it's a team that just happened to be really, really bad as a one-off for 1 year, usually it's a team that is usually always bad with a bad organization, coaching upheaval, and not a lot of talent. So best of luck, Caleb Williams, and all the best if you land in New Orleans. Well, that's brutal.
And Caleb Williams now has supposedly like the bee's knees offensive coaching mind of the last couple of years. Everybody loves Ben Johnson, who was the offensive coordinator in Detroit. He's now the head coach in Chicago. Will that unlock him? Maybe. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I don't know, but you're not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, if the Cleveland Browns end up with the number one pick, like, ask Baker Mayfield. I'd be scared. I would be scared always to be drafted by certain teams if I were a young quarterback.
Cam Ward in Tennessee, probably getting an early crack, and best of luck. Caleb Williams last year, rough rookie year. Things look better now. Bryce Young still searching for it the year before in Carolina. And then Trevor Lawrence in 2021, early flash, early pop, and now fizzle. So if you go back, like Joe Burrow, that worked out well. I mean, they made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and they got talent around him and a great head coach, so that might be the model for Caleb Williams.
So we're sitting here also, though, talking about D'Amador Lenore and his comments on Richard Sherman's podcast that he's going to be the best corner in the league this year. Okay, bravado, great, I get it. This is the way a lot of people in professional sports talk, no problems with that. But flashback to something Guru asked us in the middle of the crossover, where he's not feeling good right now about 49er injuries. And I'm like, yeah, well, of course, everyone's not feeling good about it. But my question, because he was kind of like, are you worried about the injuries? And my response was, I'm never not worried about injuries when you're following an NFL season. You're always one play away from your season being over. Always. Like, and you just have to sort of like deal with that. The Chiefs are one lineman falling on Patrick's leg away from the season being over. And that's largely the case. I know there are exceptions. Nick Foles, Brock Purdy, we can play these games. Jeff Hostetler. But it's very, very rare that stuff like that happens. So I always worry about it. And Lenore is a great example of another player who I almost view not quite quarterback level, but what do the Niners do if that guy is at some point not available this year? What do they do at the cornerback position? Sure, there's Renardo Green. They're apparently digging Upton Stout, who has not played in the NFL as of yet. There are other players that you can turn and burn and depth there and whatnot, but oof, that's one guy that's on my A list for the Niners this year of please, please don't get hurt long term. D'Amador Lenore.
No doubt. And, you know, we had him on our show when we were down at Laughing Monk. He called in and he reminded us that he's never given up a touchdown in the NFL so far in his young career. He's got a clean record as far as I can remember the interview and him saying that. And
they should have me circled.
Yeah. And Upton Stout, for me, physically projects as a natural nickel slot corner. I don't know if he would even be big enough to go to the outside. So, yeah.
Also, never given up a touchdown in the NFL.
That is true. But you do look deeper. And, you know, Trey Brown out of Seattle is... he's kind of just a guy. Maybe he could step up and fill it in, but ultimately all of this is so reliant on the defensive front pressuring quarterbacks anyway that I'm with you about D'Amador Lenore. I think you could survive it if the pass rush is nasty. It becomes something you can mitigate a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other side to it, and I wanted to get this in there too, because we were talking about the AFC West. I think it's got the potential to be the best division in football. And then there's the NFC West. And so Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, I thought kind of the ultimate moment of our conversation with him yesterday was on the way out the door. And I asked him, like, who do you pick to win the NFC West? And it wasn't what he said, it was how he said it that kind of grabbed our attention. Take a listen. Bucky, you're putting your chip in whose circle to win the NFC West?
Oh, the Rams. I mean, the Rams are the best team in the division.
Okay, the Rams.
Okay.
Why couldn't you have just said the Rams? The Rams. I'm picking the Rams. He goes, oh.
Are you really asking me that?
The Rams.
I told you earlier that's a great question. That's a stupid question.
Yeah, like I was.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Thank you. It was like I was a dumb or something over here for even asking the question.
Yeah.
And then what we didn't know in that moment with Bucky is that earlier in the day, after announcing that Matt Stafford was finally going to return to practice, he didn't. And excuse me if I don't want to grab a Sharpie and write it down in ink just because Steiny spoke to someone in L.A. who apparently thinks Matt's fine. I think Matt Stafford's August sounds a lot like Christian McCaffrey's last August, and so I don't know. And this is an absolute burner of an issue for the San Francisco 49ers. Do you know what it would mean?
Jimmy.
Well, there's that. But if Matt Stafford is in some way weakened or unavailable for a large part of this year, dude, you have no reason or excuse to not win this division. None.
That depends on how many games he misses and whether or not, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is still upright and able to hand the ball off to a guy who I think is going to have a very good year in Kyron Williams.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good.
He's good, and their defense is nasty. So there are, and I hate the expression, there are many ways to skin a cat. I've never done it. I'd imagine there's really only one way to do it.
Yeah, I vote against doing it.
I definitely would. I love cats. And in this case, if you have a great defense and a run game that could be excellent, you could survive having Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback. You may not thrive, but you could survive it.
We're getting to about that time, everybody. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to Saturday, August 15th, and the Giants game, the Rays and the Giants at Oracle Park? Everybody who goes gets to enjoy a City Connect concert featuring Saweetie following the game, and we're giving away a pair of tickets, courtesy of Levi's, next. So just keep listening. Within the next 10 minutes, we'll tell you exactly what you need to do to win. We're also giving away another pair in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you don't win this hour, you always got next hour. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Okay, Lucas Alexander to the microphone, please, if you would.
Oh.
No. So wait. Did you say that you had a story that you wanted to share about Tommy Pham?
Well, yeah.
Or I'd like you to share it.
Exactly. There is a story.
Okay. So
are we teasing Lucas Alexander? Is that what's happening?
No. We always tease each other. Grant. Yeah. No, here's actually what I want to hear, because it gave me an idea, and I thought it might be fun just as kind of a one-off. Everybody out there, 888-957-9570. Anybody want to share a time when a professional athlete was a jerk to you? Because I got a few. I would love to hear, though, if some of you have had some negative interactions. 888-957-9570. The time that a pro athlete was a jerk to you. And it's been long enough. So who is it? Let's hear names. 888-957-9570. That is the number. The tickets are right around the corner. This is Willard and Dip.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This call will be recorded.
Oh, my God.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Do you want to know why I wanted to do this real quick?
I'm a little curious because, okay, you know, we don't normally bring on Lucas and kind of browbeat him into telling a story like you did, but I'm sure you have your reasons.
I'm looking at an article in The Athletic right now. Want me to just read you the headline?
Sure.
Lawsuit accuses Shohei Ohtani and his agent of interfering with a $240 million Hawaii development.
Go Dodgers.
Cliff's notes, basically, you had some developers bringing Ohtani to be the face of kind of the marketing arm of this whole project.
Right in the face.
In the face. And he's such a big deal that basically he and his agent allegedly came in and just took over, leveraged his celebrity, got a bunch of people fired.
I saw this story, and they basically ousted the developer and the person who came up with this idea. And
the person who brought them in.
Well, and I looked at the property. I don't know if you looked into it, but every house is selling for at least $24 million. It is basically on a bluff in the Big Island overlooking the number one beach in the world. This is an unbelievably prime spot of real estate, and he came in and allegedly, ostensibly, muscled out the people who were putting this whole thing together and basically blocked their ability to develop it.
It's a lawsuit. It's alleged.
It's pending.
I don't know what happened, but I'm sorry. This is strike two.
What was strike one?
Dude, I will never, ever, like, I gotta be careful here. Microphones are on. I can't accuse people of stuff that I don't know about. But I can firmly tell you what I don't believe. And I do not believe for a second the story that we've been given that put his interpreter in jail.
Ipe Mizuzawa?
I think it's the stupidest story I've ever heard in my entire career. It's absolutely bananas in 2025 to think that amount of money can be moving around and no one knew. And he didn't know. That's crazy. That's legitimately crazy. How does our court of law work? Our court of law works when something is beyond a reasonable doubt. Let's focus on that word, reasonable. Is it reasonable that bajillions of dollars are being moved out of someone's account and they don't even have any idea? No fingerprint, no passcode, no knowledge, no email, no text, no nothing. I've gone Christmas shopping and had my bank text me. Dude, you all right? You on a heater right now.
Dude, Chase fraud alert.
Hello. I don't know why we ended up getting to a spot where they just like, we believed it. And there's way too much on the line, so it makes total sense. Who admitted it?
Ipe Mizuhara.
Of course he admitted
Currently residing at the Federal Correctional Institution, Allenwood.
Greg Anderson's online too. And if you've been a Bay Area sports fan for a while, you know who that name is. Yes, there's a fall guy, and he will likely take the fall and admit everything for, wink, wink, $100 million as soon as you get out of jail. I don't know what happened. I just know I don't believe what they've told us. Not for a second. So I've arrived at, I think Shohei Ohtani's a jerk, and we just don't know because nobody ever has to hear him talk.
Wow.
He's a total jerk.
I mean, I wonder how much of this is colored by the fact that he wears blue.
None.
Some of it.
None.
There are other jerks out there.
Course there are. There are jerks on the Giants. I don't know them all, but
name them.
actually don't even know.
Name him.
I haven't gotten to know this year's roster all that well, but like, sure. There have been things through the years where you're just like, oh, that wasn't the most fun interaction, and that doesn't make someone an awful person or anything like that. But like, I'm just going by sheer numbers. You ever walked into a room with like 30 people and been like, I like all of you? Probably not.
Not often.
Probably not.
Well, call him what you want to call him, but I call him the kind of hitter I want on my team. So.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm not even talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, if...
I'm not talking about whether I want him on my team.
Blocking land deals, allegedly. Possible gambling, potentially, allegedly. Come on down. I'll see you in the orange and black.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm not, like... I don't have this whole thing. I don't have in my head that everybody we root for is a perfect person. Okay? Game 4 of the World Series between the Giants and Rangers, I'm not giving Aubrey Huff's homer back. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
He's an awful human being. But he hit a homer, and the Giants won the World Series, and I'm not giving it back. So there's that.
Right.
But this is my belief. I believe that Shohei Ohtani is a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what I believe. Mm. And that's what I believe. And it doesn't just go based on reading articles of these two stories. There are conversations I've had.
Sources? You and Steiny?
I mean...
You and Steiny in L.A. with your sources?
There are conversations I've had.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's all.
I've never met the man. I read through the full story today from the Associated Press. The Associated Press. And wow, if these allegations are true and it comes to light via a court case or a trial, I would imagine as this goes down the road, it will be settled out of court for probably 9 figures. He's got the money if he, in fact, is guilty.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So a bunch of you have called in with when a professional sports figure has been a jerk to you.
I want to hear about Lucas and Tommy Pham, because isn't Tommy Pham the one who straight slapped Jock Peterson
in the
outfield?
That's exactly who it is.
And I love Tommy Pham.
When you watch Tommy Pham play, like some people, when they just are on the TV screen, you're like, ooh, that guy's a jerk. Like you can just see it with Tommy Pham. But let's hear from some of our callers first. And then the Giants tickets are moments away. Wayne in Sunnyvale here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Wayne. What's up?
Not much, man. Long-time listener. Don't call in real often. Love you guys.
Thanks, Wayne. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. My terrible moment was with Jerry Jones. It was in, I think, 2008. It could have been 2009. Preseason game. They played the San Diego Chargers at the time. Had free club-level tickets at Qualcomm. I was trying to get my buddy out of there. He was very drunk. Security came through, said, hug a wall. They're leading Wade Phillips and Jerry Jones down the hallway. They had to stop the procession. Jerry Jones stopped right in front of me. I was wearing a Cowboys hat, Tony Romo jersey at the time. I said, hi, Jerry. Nice to meet you. And I held out my hand, and he wouldn't even look at me.
He wouldn't even touch
you. Oh, boy.
Ugh. Yeah. He treated you like a peasant, Wayne.
What's that?
Okay. I do like a good Jerry.
And he was in gear, too, though.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne.
Like, double gear.
What do you mean?
He was wearing a hat and a Romo jersey. Like, the least Jera could have done is,
yeah.
I kind of like that jersey on you.
You knew he was a Cowboy fan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, who's a Giants fan? Who's a Giants,
I'm a Giants fan?
You want to win a pair of tickets? Saturday, August 15th, this weekend, Rays Giants.
I'm a Giants fan.
All fans get to enjoy a City Connect concert featuring Saweetie following the game. Pair of tickets courtesy of Levi's right now. All you need to do is just be caller 5. Contest line, let's roll. 415-523-4652. Don't call the caller line, you'll lose. Be caller 5 now to the contest line. 415. 523-4652. And remember, you can always buy tickets at sfgiants.com. Good luck. Remember, another pair next hour, so keep on listening.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Before we go to the phones and Lucas, mine is just one of the oddest ones I'll never forget. I was at one of the various Final Fours where you and I used to hang out, And I had an unbelievably great reaction with Dick Vitale in the media room. And it was a quick 2 or 3 minutes. I actually took maybe my first ever selfie picture. This is like 2006 or 7.
Dick Vitale wasn't mean to you, was he?
No.
Okay, good.
So I had an unbelievable one with Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
And I just told him how I thought he was awesome, baby. And he was so nice. I get in the elevator to go up to my seats. And right there is Dante Culpepper, 6'6", with a like mink fur coat on. And I'm all jacked up from the Dick Vitale. And there's only like 2 or 3 of us in the elevator. And I was like, Dante, hey, how you doing, man? Great career, and I got to tell you, I love that coat. And he kind of looks down at me and just looks away, and I was like, Dante Culpepper.
Wow.
You weren't good enough to diss me like that, Dante Culpepper.
He made a noise at you.
And it wasn't the guru sniff. It was a, like, I can't even utter words at how much you disgust me. I'm just going to, and I was like, Dante Culpepper. How many animals had to die for that atrocity?
Oh.
Dante Culpepper.
You should have said that next.
Well, I think I had to get off the elevator. Yeah. He is quietly 6'6".
Yeah, but you'd been a rich man if he took a swing at you.
I mean, could have been a provocation sensation.
It could have been. Let's go to Omar in Oakland. Hi, Omar. Thank you for calling.
Hey there. How's everyone doing today?
Good, Omar.
We're fantastic, Omar. How are you?
Good. First time calling in. So
who hurt you, Omar? Who hurt you? And thank you for calling.
It was Chris Bosch.
Chris Bosch?
So, yeah, it was very random, actually. It was like a random weekday. I went to MoMA with my girlfriend for a school assignment she had at the time because she was in college. And I saw Chris Bosch, or who I thought looked like Chris Bosch, because obviously, you know, you see the 7-footer walking through a bunch of regular people. And I was like, hey, Chris, like approaching him very calmly. And I was like, you know, hell of a career, respect, man. Like, do you think there's any chance we could get a quick selfie? And obviously, you know, he has all the right to say no.
Yeah.
But the way he said it, he was just kind of like, you know, like I'm with my group right now. Like we're going through a tour. And it didn't look like they were going through a tour. He was with like a 60 person group. But I was like, all right, it's all good, man. Like, God bless. You have a great day. Like, no worries. And I just went about my business. But I've ran into guys like CMC, and I ran into him while he was driving his truck. Christian McCaffrey literally stopped his truck to take my phone to take a selfie with me and my girlfriend. And I'm just like, you know, those kind of athletes, they give you that moment, and then there's other ones that you know, like, I just kind of bothered the guy.
Omar, I love that. I love that you tagged it with you know, one of the good experiences that you had. And it's, by the way,
I mean, I stopped listening when he said Christian McCaffrey took my phone.
I know. I was like, oh, that's probably
that's a little cold.
One, he's hard to catch too. If he takes
totally.
Your phone,
not like, last year.
Good Lord, that's a good point. Maybe it was last year. But although I don't want to like take Omar's thunder from him. His Chris Bosch experience, it didn't sound that bad. Like he just said no. Like that happens. That I always want to give the athletes the room or celebrities, whatever. If it's not the right time, think to yourself, these people are being asked this all day, every time they go out, if they're at dinner, whatever. I'm okay if you politely decline. But treat the people like they're human beings and talk to them. And it sounds like Chris did. Sorry, I'm with my people, and then Omar started judging whether or not he was with his people or not.
He pointed to a group of 60 people, like, I'm with that tour group. So Chris Bosch is just with a random, like, hey, the Wednesday 1 o'clock group, come on over, let's meet up here. And Chris is just the one guy in the 60 person group. It's possible.
You want to know something after the legal, because it's time for the legal. After the legal, I'm gonna surprise you with
time for the legal.
Who I thought has been one of the most polite. One of the most polite professional athlete interactions I have had since coming back home 7 years ago.
Okay.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.